My thanks to William Pepper for coming on to talk to us about the assassination of Martin Luther King. We're glad that he's still around and someone hasn't taken him out. We look forward to having him back when the third book in his trilogy comes out. Shifting gears now to talk about another kind of murder case, perhaps the most notorious serial killer in American history, the Zodiac Killer. Tom Voigt has been following the case for many years. He formed ZodiacKiller.com. He's the webmaster of that, and it still gets an intense amount of interest from the public and from law enforcement officials. We jump into that case right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Tom Voigt has become something of an expert on the Zodiac Killer case, and he's the webmaster and creator of ZodiacKiller.com, which has been online since 1998. Glad to welcome you to the show, Tom.
Hi, George. I don't usually get giddy, but I'm really giddy to be on Coast to Coast. This is awesome.
We're glad to have you here. Tell me this. How'd you get hooked on the case?
Oh, my mom asked me that virtually every day. I can't give a rational explanation. It just happened. I just woke up one day, and like when you wake up with the cold or the flu, and I just had the Zodiac bug, and I haven't been able to shake it. It's been, you know, 16, 17 years. I think it's maybe fate, I hope. I hope it means that I'm destined to contribute to solving the case. That would be cool. Otherwise, it's pretty sad because I've wasted all my adult years on it.
Well, tell me, what are the chances of that? Well, let's put it this way. Let's start with the website. A lot of stuff on there. I was looking at it today, and it's fascinating, and it looks like you get input pretty much every day from all over the world. How's it doing, and why do you suppose people are still interested in the case all these years later?
Yeah, it's a compelling case. It really can hook you, and it can drag you in, even if you don't want it to. And it is a huge website. ZodiacKiller.com is like the Costco of websites. It's just enormous. It grows every day. And you're right, it's input from around the world on a daily basis. And that's kind of that was the idea behind it. I wanted to get as many sets of eyes on the available information. And that way, maybe the right person at the right time will get to see these materials that up until 1998, when I launched the site, most of the materials, a majority of the Zodiac's written letters and the police reports and crime scene photos were not available to the public. And that was, in my opinion, that was, you know, a reason why the case was dormant. And so I felt like if we just get that information out there for everyone around the world to look at it, then you're going to have an army of investigators instead of just a few guys in overcoats. You're going to have an army of people, and the right person at the right time might finally see it. And it hasn't happened yet. We haven't solved the case yet. It's still open. But I think every day, the more information that comes out, the more likely the case will be solved. It's not going to be a Jack the Ripper. I think there will be definitely a conclusion to this, and we're going to know for sure who the Zodiac was. No arguing, no pessimism. It's going to be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, the guy's identity, and that's my goal, and that's what helps me sleep at night.
So many fingers of the investigation have sort of shut down after all this time. I mean, officially, I guess there are open files, there are open investigations, agencies that will accept information if something comes forward. How accurate, though, is that characterization that it's an open investigation and that someone is actively working it?
Professionally, it's not very accurate. It's nice to think that, you know, the statute of limitations on murder never runs out and there's always somebody that's answering the phone. But you know, if the Zodiac Killer called the San Francisco Police Department to confess, to turn himself in, they put him on hold for so long that he would die of old age. So that's what's going on in San Francisco. Luckily, there is a department that is investigating, and it's the Napa County Sheriff's Department. They have jurisdiction in the Zodiac's most bizarre murder. He attacked a young couple at a lakeside, and he was dressed as an executioner. He had a costume that he apparently made from scratch, and it was a broad daylight knife attack. It was horrifying. And the jurisdiction in charge of that attack is the Napa County Sheriff's Department. And a number of months ago, they started a cold case investigation, and the Zodiac case was on their list, and they submitted some of their physical evidence that they felt like might have Zodiac's DNA on it. And I just got word today that they expect results within the next 30 days. So they have the DNA of the victims, and they're hoping that they can extract a third profile that doesn't match the victims, and they hope that that's the Zodiac's DNA. So after all these years, after 40-plus years, there might be some actual, you know, some actual evidence that could point to his identity.
I want to go down the list, a specific list of names, individual names of possible suspects, people that whose names have come up, people that you might suspect. I don't want you to name it now, but tell me this in general. Do you think the guy is still alive, is still out there, is on the loose, that he's just retired and is as hunkering down, or could he be dead or in prison? What's your guess? What's your gut tell you?
I believe he's dead. There have been, let me put it this way. The site has been up for 14 years, and during that time, virtually every day, somebody has sent me information about someone they think was the Zodiac. So I have access to the original suspects that were investigated back in the day, and then I have access to information about suspects that are new, that the police don't even know about yet. So I've seen thousands of these guys, thousands of these potential Zodiacs, and out of all of them, there have only been three individuals that I felt like warranted a closer look. And I've had a part in getting all three tested for DNA. And so that's cool. But there's one who has not been, he hasn't been ruled out yet. And so if you ask me who I think the Zodiac was, I won't name him yet, but I do have someone that's at the top of my very short list. And his DNA is available. And my hope is, if the Napa County Sheriff's Department gets the DNA recovery of an unknown subject from the materials, I hope to God that they're going to compare it, because I think it might just be a match.
I guess it's overly simplistic, and the obvious is the answer is implied, but why bother after all this time? If he stopped killing, is it just a matter of bringing closure for the families of the victims, or is there something more?
Yeah, I'd like to think that if somebody killed me, you know, that it wouldn't matter if it was 40 years later, that people would still try to, you know, identify the culprit and preferably, you know, bring him to justice. In Zodiac's case, he challenged everybody to find him, and he mocked everybody publicly, and he even provided proof that, you know, he even sent evidence to the police via the newspapers in his letters, and he gave clues to his identity, and you know, I just think that at a fundamental level, I want to be the guy to outsmart the smartass. So it is about justice, and it's also a compelling challenge. Zodiac was kind of a real-life comic book hero that had a costume and had a crazy, you know, gave himself a crazy name and really taunted and challenged. That's why a lot of people find themselves drawn to it, and I think that's what drew me to it. I just feel it's solvable. I think it's ridiculous that so much evidence can exist and so many clues can exist, and yet we still don't know this guy's name. And I felt like, again, if you put all the information in one spot and let people actually see it instead of keeping it hidden in these, you know, dusty file cabinets. His name is in there. It's in there somewhere. It's in one of his ciphers. It's in one of his letters. And it's just a matter of let's have as many eyes as possible looking at the material. And then the right eye at the right time is going to spot it. I hope he's not dead. Let's put it that way. But my favorite suspect is dead. I wish he wasn't.
I would think that if Zodiac were alive, that he would be checking in your website every day.
Yeah, that, you know, well, I get a lot of hits. Maybe he is. The most hits ZodiacKiller.com received was, in, you know, when that movie came out a few years ago with Robert Downey Jr., the Zodiac movie, Jake Gyllenhaal. That month, I got almost 40 million hits, and that's a lot of hits. I usually average less than that. That was my highest. But the hits are from around the world, and you know, I would like to think if he was alive that he is checking in, because that might be one way to catch him one day. But that might be wishful thinking.
Help me paint a picture for those in our listening audience who were not alive back then, or who were alive and weren't paying attention. Paint the picture of what it was like back in the heyday, the zenith of Zodiac's activity. I mean, he terrorized the public, he toyed with police, he murdered at will. And for no apparent reason other than the sheer thrill of the kill, or maybe he just craved the anonymous attention. Paint the picture of what it was like back then at the peak of public interest in this.
Well, in the late 60s in the San Francisco Bay Area, there was a riot virtually every week. There was a firebombing. There was a, you know, you had all those universities around there and all the students protesting and all the marches and all the confrontations. You had people randomly bombing buildings and Bank of America and it was crazy, and the news was filled with all sorts of mayhem. And so for Zodiac to get as much attention as he did, he really had to go over the top. I mean, because the Vietnam protests that were going on and all of these confrontations with police, it was a spectacle. And so Zodiac came along and made everyone forget about all that stuff. So you can imagine how over the top, you know, scared people were. He dominated the news. He just said, you know, he didn't give anyone a choice. He said, publish stories about me on your front page or I'm just going to go kill a dozen people. And he already proved that he was capable of it. So, you know, he had the whole Bay Area right in his pocket. And you say for no apparent reason. And that's a key point, because I think once we figure out the reason, it might point to his identity. It might be random. It might have just been something he just came up with on his own. But if we can find his agenda, then it might point to a particular individual. And, you know, and he took the whole area hostage, and that's something that's also significant, like nobody else ever had ever done. And he stooped so low as to threaten to kill school children. I mean, if you can imagine, you know, adults might feel like they can protect themselves, but he threatened to assassinate school children as they came off a school bus. And then he threatened to set up a bomb on the side of a highway that was designed to blow up when something the size of a school bus drove by. And he even sent copies of his bomb diagrams. And they were bomb diagrams that were checked out, and they were valid bomb diagrams. So he attacked from every angle. He didn't just attack as a killer, you know, one-on-one. He was attacking mentally, too. And it was just nonstop, you know, 20 letters in less than 2 years, and each one getting headlines and each one scaring the crap out of everyone. And to this day, if you talk to someone who was in elementary school at that time, you know, you can see that hair on their arms stand up, because there were police cars following the school buses. You had armed guards on school buses. You can imagine what those kids went through.
Well, you know, I lived in Northern California back in those days and remember the intense media interest and intense public interest. I mean, there's nothing comparable, I don't think, no murder case in my lifetime to even come close.
No, I don't know what someone would have to do to recreate that type of terror. It just boggles the mind. Most people don't think about things like that. So I suppose one day there might be some maniac that comes up with a battle plan to top the Zodiac. But he was really the first that did that. And luckily he's the last. I mean, there hasn't been anybody like him since at that scale. And that's a good thing. But, you know, as long as he's unidentified, it's almost like, you know, he's almost like a martyr, because he challenged everyone, he got away with it, and now he's got this legendary status, and that might motivate somebody to try to duplicate it. And I would just as soon see this guy get identified and the final chapter, and at least you can point to it and say, you know, it wasn't worth it. You know, there's always consequences. But he's almost like a martyr. You know, he did get away with it. He challenged everyone. He said, I'm smarter than you. He even tried to help people catch him, help the police. You know, nothing. He was just untouchable.
I wonder how much of an inspiration he is to other twisted individuals and killers out there. Sort of like a Hannibal Lecter in the movies was an inspiration to other wackos. Whether or not there are other killers who idolize him, who tried to emulate him.
Well, he's had a couple copycats. There was a copycat in the New York area in the mid to late 90s, Roberto Seda, who called himself the Zodiac Killer and claimed to be the original Zodiac Killer. And he wrote letters to the police and did all the same, you know, did stuff like that. He got caught, and he's in death row. And then right around that time, there was a copycat in Kobe, Japan, who also got caught. He took it to this bizarre level. He actually targeted school children, if I remember, decapitated them and so forth. And if I remember correctly, he's already out of jail. So I'm not going to go to Japan, I think, anytime soon. But there are copycats, and those are the ones we know of. And the thing is, if you try to copy Zodiac, it's going to be difficult, because he really was pretty smart, or at least he was extremely lucky, and most people aren't either.
Do you get stuff on your website from people who admire or idolize him?
Yeah, I try to make it clear that it's not a fan site. I try to make it clear the site is about, you know, trying to catch the guy. And I don't know if these people are joking or if they're really dumb. I do get people sometimes that think I'm the Zodiac, and they email me and say, aren't you ashamed to have a website about what you did? And I usually don't respond to those people. But then you get the people that think that it's a, you know, glorifying him or something, and they're usually not people you can reason with. I'd say one out of every 10 email I get is something that's actually worth responding to. There's a lot of dumb people on the internet, I found out.
That's shocking. Absolutely shocking. Help me, let's paint a psychological profile of this guy. What makes him tick? What kind of insights you have into his personality that might help us describe him as an individual?
Well, at first it was just assumed, you know, his first three attacks, while they were young couples in a lover's lane, and it was assumed that he just, you know, he had a sexual problem, or he was jealous of young people, or he was jealous of intimacy, whatever. But, you know, there was no molestation of the victims. There was no robbery. He did end up taking some items from one victim, but apparently it was just to...
A trophy?
In his future. Well, it was thought that, I think, at first, but then he ended up sending pieces of the materials that he took. He included them with his letters, and it, I don't know if that was for shock value or if it was to make sure that the police knew that the letters were from him and not a copycat, but he didn't appear to have any of the same motivation. He, you know, most serial killers are obviously either sexually driven or sadistic. You know, you have elements of overkill or sexual molestation, and Zodiac didn't, he just did as much as it took to kill his victims. There was no sign of any type of mutilation, and he didn't molest his victims. He had the opportunity to, you know, to do whatever he wanted, and he just seemed to just want to kill them and then get out of the area. So you have to ask, well, what was his motivation then? He's not a typical serial killer. And in fact, he only had a handful of victims, but he had 20 letters. So he had far more letters that he wrote than victims. So to me, it tells me that what was really important to him was what he put in his letters, getting his letters on the front page, making the police look inept, scaring the public, and creating a whole big, you know, mess. The actual killing, he ended up claiming 37 victims, but there's only evidence that he killed seven, or at least a couple survived. So you have, and I count the surviving victims as being victims, so you have five dead and two who survived. So you have a seven count. That's a lot of people, but he had 20 letters. So if you try to think about what his motive was, it seems to me he cared a lot more about getting his stuff published in the newspapers, which is unusual. And I don't think it's just because he was an egomaniac or any of the other theories. There's got to be something more to it. And I think if we can figure that out, then it'll go a long way in helping, you know, narrow the suspect pool.
I want to talk about the number of victims. You said seven, as many as 37 claimed. Are you leaning to the seven number, or you think there were more?
Well, I think... That's a good question. I think he probably started killing before the first verified Zodiac attack. And whether they survived or not, I don't know. But there are some potential victims that were discovered that happened in the early to mid-60s in the southern part of California that might very well be his doing. And it would have been before he became the Zodiac. And there are a couple others that... One is missing. No one knows where she is, if she's dead or alive, but Zodiac seemed to imply that he was responsible for her disappearance. So there are people that think that he's killed 100 people. You know, there are people that think he abducted, you know, JonBenet Ramsey killed her. There are people that can connect him to virtually every murder across the country, solved or unsolved. You know, these people, they think that they're going to catch the Zodiac by connecting him to every random murder they can think of.
I'll tell you what, Tom Voigt, who created ZodiacKiller.com, I want to go down the list of some of the victims that you can attribute to Zodiac that we know that he was involved in when we come back and cover a lot more of this fascinating case. I'm George Knapp, and this is Coast to Coast AM. I'm talking with Tom Voigt, creator and webmaster of ZodiacKiller.com. There is, as he mentioned, a considerable body of evidence in this case, this fascinating and still as yet unsolved string of murders. There's DNA evidence. There are these series of ciphers and letters written by Zodiac, whoever he may have been. When we come back, we'll jump into what evidence exists and see if we can help solve this thing here on Coast to Coast AM. Tom Voigt, you lean more towards something closer to 7 victims for Zodiac than the 37 that he apparently claimed in some letters. Let's go through the list, and you don't have to dwell on them too much, but I want to get a sense of which ones you believe he is responsible for.
Well, definitely the 7 that I'm confident that he's responsible for are the first two, David Faraday and Betty Wood Jensen. They were shot to death in a remote area, Lover's Lane area. It's very secluded. Even to this day, it's nothing's really changed out there on the outskirts of Vallejo, California. And it was 5 days before Christmas, 1968. The follow-up attack was another young couple, still out the outskirts, but it was technically within the city limits of Vallejo, Darlene Farron and Mike Mageau. In that case, Mageau actually survived, but he hasn't really been able to provide much help with the police. It was a very traumatic event, and it really turned his life upside down. After that murder, an attempted murder of Farron and Mageau, the Zodiac made a phone call within 45 minutes of the attack or so, and he called a police dispatcher for the Vallejo Police Department named Nancy Slover, who just passed away a few weeks ago, and he took credit over the phone for the shootings of Farron and Mageau, and he also took credit for the killings of the previous Christmas of David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen. So he took credit for all four. Now, that doesn't mean he was responsible for all four. A few weeks after the Farron and Mageau murders, he wrote 3 letters to 3 different Bay Area newspapers, and he included details in those letters that really proved that he was, in fact, the killer of 3 and the person who wounded Mike Mageau. They were details about how the victims were dressed and the type of ammunition and how many shots fired and so forth. So those 4 are pretty much etched in stone that Zodiac was responsible for all 4. But again, especially on the internet, there are people who will argue that 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, so you have to take that with a grain of salt. I believe that those 4 are confirmed victims, but I'm sure there's probably 100 people out there, you know, pounding their desks saying, no. Cecilia Shepherd and Brian Hartnell were the next couple that was attacked. That was September 27th, 1969. It was different than the first 2 attacks in the sense that it was during the day and not at night. And a knife was used instead of a gun. And in the attack of Cecilia Shepherd and Brian Hartnell, the Zodiac dressed up in some costume. I guess you could say it was like an executioner's costume, and that was something that he apparently had not done either in the other cases. And on the front of his executioner's costume was the Zodiac symbol, the cross with a circle, and so it was pretty much confirmed that he was responsible for that attack. And he also wrote a message on the victim's car door after that attack, and the handwriting was consistent with the handwriting from the letters. So you have 6 right there. Once again, the male survived in the knife attack. So you have 4 dead females and 2 males who survived. I don't know if there's anything to that. I think he attacked the males just as much as he attacked the females. It was just a stroke of luck. I don't think it meant that he hated the females worse or anything like that, although I could be wrong. And his last known attack was in San Francisco. It was a lone cab driver, and that was on October 11th, 1969. He shot the cab driver once in the head, and then he took the cab driver's keys and wallet, and then he tore off a piece of the cab driver's shirt, which was very strange. He ended up getting away, obviously, and he sent pieces of that cab driver's shirt with subsequent letters, although there's still a large portion of shirt that's missing, as well as the keys and wallet.
It's like he was purposely trying to mix it up. I mean, it looks like the victims were random, and he kept changing the methods. I'm curious about, you know, you said he shot some, he stabbed some. Are the guns the ones where shootings were involved? Are the calibers the same?
No, they were different, 2 different calibers, 3 different guns. He didn't use the same gun more than once. The knife he used in the daytime attack was a foot-long knife that he had wrapped cotton around the handle. Tells me he had experience. I wouldn't have known, for example, being that I've never gone and stabbed anyone, I wouldn't have known that, you know, if, if you don't wrap the handle in cotton, you know, as you're stabbing something, you know, your hand can slip and you can actually cut yourself. Tells me that he might have had experience using a knife maybe on animals, which would be consistent with someone like that, you know, mutilating animals. But, you know, that's premeditated murder. That's right there when you wrap the knife in cotton. That's showing that you're intending to do that. And he also, he bound the couple before he stabbed them, and the rope that he bound them with was pre-cut. So once again, that's a sign of premeditation. And he was experienced. That's why I think he did start, you know, prior to Christmas of 1968 with the first known murders. I think he had experience in other ways, and whether he got it on a farm, you know, whether he worked in a slaughterhouse, I don't know. But he seemed to be well practiced by the time he debuted as the Zodiac.
Wasn't there a case here in Nevada or up near Lake Tahoe state line that sounded like him?
A woman named Donna Lass, she worked at the Sahara Tahoe. She was the nurse for that casino, and she went missing. She's never been found, and it's thought that, you know, she was the victim of something, and she went missing on September 6, 1970. She was last seen at her workstation at the Sahara Tahoe. She apparently made it home safely, and then she's never been seen since. And about 6 months later, roughly, there was a correspondence received in San Francisco that made mention of Tahoe and it had the Zodiac, you know, name and symbol on it, and it was thought that perhaps Zodiac was either the culprit or was just trying to capitalize on the you know, publicity, because her disappearance did end up getting a lot of publicity, and so we don't know. You know, I guess just theoretically she could be alive and well somewhere. A lot of people were dropping out, you know, so to speak, back then. She wasn't the type, by all accounts, she wasn't the type to do it. Donna Lass was happy and well-adjusted and had a job she liked and a new car and all these things going for her. So I think she definitely was the, you know, a victim of something, but exactly what and who did it. It also could have been, most of Zodiac's letters were authenticated. Document examiners were able to look at them and they were able to say, okay, this was written by the same hand that wrote this other letter. And so we know what Zodiac's handwriting looks like. And we know that, for example, the letters that were received that contained a piece of the cab driver's shirt that Zodiac tore off, you can link that handwriting to that murder. And if you can link that handwriting to other letters that may not have the shirt attached to it, then you can make a link and you can say this, the same guy wrote all these letters. Well, the Tahoe letter that seemed to imply that he was responsible for the Donna Lass murder, that one really hardly had any handwriting on it. He'd cut out phrases from newspapers and pasted them to a card. So it's just a dead end. It's really an interesting dead end, but I'm afraid there's really nowhere to go with it unless we have a law enforcement agency that's going to, you know, that has jurisdiction, that has that card and evidence. They can do DNA. And so far, the Napa County Sheriff's Department is the only one that's doing anything, really. And it's frustrating, but it's just the way it is.
Wasn't there one other one? I think you mentioned it on your website, ZodiacKiller.com, from my old stomping grounds in Stockton, Modesto, an attempted victim, I guess. It was an attempt where Zodiac is suspected, at least by some, of grabbing some lady and her kid.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, Kathleen Johns, the name of the victim, and her daughter just emailed me a couple days ago. She was pregnant at the time, and she escaped. It was an abduction, apparently. There's a lot of confusion about that particular case because what's contained in the police report doesn't really match the account that Johns gave of that night. But apparently a man who resembled the sketch of the Zodiac killer had her pull over and coerced her to get into his vehicle and then began threatening to kill her, and she jumped out with her baby. She had a baby. She was also pregnant at the time. And it was a terrifying, you know, ordeal for her, but, you know, it was just, the police didn't really know where to go with it, I think, because she was a hippie and it was a really podunk town. I mean, it was in Houston or Patterson, Tracy, California, these really small towns in the Sacramento Valley, tiny towns back then. And so you had these, you know, small town police agencies, and they weren't equipped to handle anything like this. And I think, I think they just figured she was a crazy hippie on drugs, and not much was really done with that investigation. I think it's too bad. There might have been more that could have been done if they had taken her more seriously, or if it had been a larger department. Zodiac definitely got lucky a few times. Whether he was the culprit in that case, I don't know, but he definitely had some luck on his side.
Well, it's San Joaquin Valley, and yeah, there are a lot of little towns in that area, that part of Central California. Anyway, let's talk about the letters. I guess we could break it down into two sections: the letters in which you just wrote messages, and then the cryptograms. Start with the letters. What's the general content? Just boasting, giving tantalizing clues. What was he doing in these letters?
You know, he was boasting, and he was making sure it was important to him that everyone realized that the real Zodiac was the author of the letter, and it was important that to the Zodiac that he made sure to let everyone know that the police were inept, that they couldn't catch him even though he was trying to help them, and that he could basically do whatever he wanted, and that's what he did. And he would include evidence to show that he was the culprit in a particular crime. Other times his letters were just... Well, one of his last letters was a review of the movie The Exorcist, which he called a satirical comedy. I kind of have to agree after reading it, by the way, after watching that film. I finally watched it after reading that letter that Zodiac wrote about it. For probably 500 times I read that letter, and I finally watched The Exorcist movie, and it was antiquated, but at the time it was horrifying people, and people were throwing up in the movie theaters and so forth, and there were all these protests about wanting to ban the Exorcist movie. So at the time when the Zodiac called it a satirical comedy, I'm sure that was probably horrifying to people. Now I think it's kind of funny because it's so campy to look at today. It is kind of satirical. But then other times he was quoting this operetta called The Mikado, and he seemed to quote the song, the Little List song from the operetta The Mikado, and he wrote several pages of the lyrics, and he altered some of the lyrics at certain times, seemed to indicate that he maybe had those lyrics memorized, that he was able to alter them. Other letters were just plain, I mean, they were just obviously designed to terrify everybody. The letters where he threatened to blow up a school bus, put a bomb at the roadside, he threatened to shoot out the tire of a school bus and then pick off the kiddies as they came bouncing off the bus. Another time, he sent a map, Phillips 66 road map, and he pinpointed the peak of Mount Diablo, which is Devil Mountain, and he included some kind of cryptic remarks about magnetic north and about how you have to use the map in conjunction with his cipher, and if you do that properly, then you'll figure out where he buried a bomb. You know, there was just all sorts of stuff, and it just... In retrospect, he just seemed to be wanting to keep the police very, very busy, very busy. And, you know, his letters, he could have written about anything. They were already getting published on the front page. You know, Ted Kaczynski had a manifesto. He had an agenda that was very clear. And Zodiac had the world, he was getting on the world news. His message could have been anything. And yet the message seemed to be just that he was trying to keep the police extremely busy. And I think that is a clue that once we figure out why he wanted to keep the police busy, I think it's going to be another. It's going to point into the direction of who the Zodiac really was.
You mentioned. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He was very motivated. Motive is always a word that's thrown around in murder cases and crimes. And Zodiac's motive, he was very motivated, more so than any other criminal I've seen. He was so motivated that he had all these different methods of attack instead of just violence. He was also using the media. He was a master manipulator of the media. He knew just what to do. But why was he doing those things? Why didn't he put other content in his letters that were being published on the front page? Why did he want, seemingly, the police to just be absolutely, just absolutely overcome with work? And why did he want them to look so inept and to be so busy? And I don't know why. He was already getting away with these crimes. He'd already gotten away with it. So why continue to stretch the police and their, you know, manpower? It just doesn't make sense.
You mentioned Ted Kaczynski, who the Unabomber, who, of course, has had his own writings that are well known and who had roots in the Bay Area. Have you had people suggest that they are one and the same?
Yes. Ted Kaczynski is a popular Zodiac suspect. I do not think he was a Zodiac. There's compelling evidence that proves he wasn't the Zodiac. You have to overlook a lot if you want Ted Kaczynski to be the Zodiac. You really have to kind of turn your brain off. There are other high-profile criminals that some think might be the Zodiac. In fact, there was a book written in the late 1980s, I believe, suggesting that the Manson family was responsible for the Zodiac crimes. That was a book written by Howard Davis. It's a very popular theory. It kind of makes sense. They both were in the late 60s, and the Mansons were in the Bay Area at one time, and of course the Mansons were capable of killing. And that's a theory that's gotten a lot of attention. People kind of can relate to it because it was the late 60s, and just as Ted Kaczynski was nearby in Berkeley across the bay from San Francisco in 1969, you have a lot of activity from the other West Coast by the Manson family. So that's one of the big theories, is the Zodiac-Manson connection. Another is, another high-profile murder in California was the Black Dahlia. And now that was a long time ago, but there's a retired detective from the Los Angeles Police Department who was a homicide cop for, like a decade and a half, who thinks that his father not only killed the Black Dahlia, but was also the Zodiac killer. And he's got a couple books. Steve Hodell is the author. He's got a website, just like Howard Davis. It's not just a book that comes out. There's also a website, which is cool, because you can read about the theory and decide if you want to actually buy the book, which can help. And so you have a lot of high-profile murders in California, and you have a lot of people who can find interesting connections to the Zodiac. And you have not just professional authors or homicide inspectors, but you have intelligent people who can get their own books published and who maybe can't get a big publishing house, but they come up with a compelling theory. They have all the evidence and information they need to fact check and to find out if there's anything relevant there. And then they put the information together in a book and they present their theory that way. And I think that's really interesting because there are a lot of good writers that can't get published. One of the theories that is compelling and been around for 30 years is a former Harvard professor. I won't name him, but there's a former Harvard professor, a genius gone bad, that's been written about. Ray Grant has a book that he's published that explores that theory. It's very interesting, and you can find all these authors by just keyword search, and they all have a website. And it's one of the best things I think about ZodiacKiller.com is that the message board, there are more than 100,000 postings and there are more than 11,000 users. And you can read about the various theories and you can read about the various books and you can find one that makes sense and you can avoid the ones that don't make sense. And there are a lot that don't make sense. There's some of the craziest theories of all time. This case really does attract a lot of very creative people.
Well, I don't want to laugh or belittle this thing because it's a horrible series of crimes, but I do want to get into some of those crazy theories on the other side. I would think that the Black Dahlia theory would have to be right up there on the list, because that guy would have to be pretty old to be pulling off these murders so long after the Black Dahlia killing.
Well, George Hodell is the dad. Steve Hodell is the son, the retired police detective from Los Angeles. And the dad was very youthful looking, and I think he especially makes a very compelling case that his dad did kill Beth Short, the Black Dahlia. In fact,
all right, Tom Voigt, creator of ZodiacKiller.com, will come back and talk about the ciphers and get into some DNA evidence. Carlos Santana with a blazing hot guitar solo on Soul Sacrifice takes us into the break. We'll be back with more Coast to Coast AM right after these messages.